In 1984, well, I suppose Van Halen released an album, Jump, which I can't do right now. But in 1984, there was another famous thing that people may have thought had finally crossed the line so that nerds could come in the mainstream. That is when Revenge of the Nerds came out. How many people have seen that movie? Oh, do we really admit that in public?
I did.
Right. Personally, however, I do not think that it was that movie that allowed nerds, or nerdum, to escape the closet and proudly show their pocket protectors. Personally, I think it was in 1988 when Stephen Hawking first released A Brief History of Time. Because up to that, scientists were in the closet, right? It wasn't cool to be a scientist. You weren't a movie star and stuff. But if you think about it, as kind of proof of my point, do you know Stephen Hawking's name, most of you? Have you heard of him? I mean, if you think about it, I bet you, anybody here watch Simpsons? I mean, he shows up in Simpsons sometimes, not him personally. But Stephen Hawking is the guy in the wheelchair, right? Guy in the wheelchair. But he came out with A Brief History of Time. And it's funny because when I read the scripture that Winslow had chosen for this week, it just hit to me that I would do, I thought it was a short history, but the title, The Brief History, came to mind, and that is why we're going to go with A Brief History of Paraclete. Now, Rick continues, and I appreciate it, to encourage people to show up for Bible study, both on Sunday and on Wednesday. One of the other advantages to Wednesday is sometimes I give a preview, right, folks, those who show up? So some of you already know what the Paraclete is. Others of you don't, but you're about to learn. These are one of these cases where one of the advantages of spending too much money on a religion degree is you learn all kinds of words that no regular human should use. And this one sounds kind of funny because it sounds like parakeet or something. So, right, exactly. Or I like Winslow. Was it you, Winslow, who said it sounds like something you would wear to a soccer game? Exactly, a pair of cleats. So, paraclete is a Greek transliteration of, now, you see, this is where Larry's Bible college was better than my religion degree. I would probably get the Greek in seminary if I was actually to continue. But it's parakletos. It is, and that's per the exhaustive concordance of the Bible by Strong's, which is a good one. And the word only occurs five times in the Bible, so I think that we can go through and take a look. So let's look at the first time it shows up. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. Somehow again, Rick, we end up in John. How is that? We could all save on Bibles. We'll just all have a Bible that has John. It'll be easier to carry. No, we don't want to do that. Whether or not, I will admit, John is my favorite book. Just happens that John, there's only one author, by the way, that uses the word. Guess who that is? There you go, since you already had the clue for the book we were going to. John, we're going to go to chapter 14 and verses 16 through 17. Now, obviously, both verses don't have it, but there are times when if you include too little, you don't get the point of the passage. So John 14, verses 16 through 17. And I think at the rate I'm going, everybody has beat me this time. Well, we'll go back to 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So that's one. You probably know which word it is, but let's go on to the next one first, okay? So don't have to leave John. Convenient, right? Let's stay in John. Now we're going to go down, and we even stay in chapter 14. We're going to go to verses 25 and 26. John 14, 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all that I have said to you. So there's the second use. The second use. I'm not going to say it yet, but you probably already figured out what the word paraclete is underneath. Let's turn one chapter further. John 15. See how easy John has made this for us? We don't even have to move a whole bunch of pages. John chapter 15, and we're going to go with verse 26. 15:26. Nice other thing is less chance of paper cuts. 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Let's look at one more. John 16, another chapter over. John 16, verses 7 through 11. John 16, 7 through 11. Sorry, my eyes are having trouble aligning. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay, now for the quiz. This is like an SAT thing. I've given you an English essay to read, and now you've got to tell me something from it. What word in those is actually paraclete?
Helper,
exactly. It's helper. And we kind of have a cheat sheet. The second reference actually said it specifically. John 14:26 said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. So the paraclete is the Holy Spirit. Now, considering where we are, if I was being kind to you, you'd be off the hook. We've now finished our brief history of the paraclete, because we've gone through a whole bunch of paraclete references. But you guys are wiser than that. I think this one will be shorter than most, but we're not done quite yet. Because really, when we say a brief history of the paraclete, we're talking about a brief history of the Holy Spirit. And that might be a bit complicated, but let's go ahead and look at that. What do you guys think is the most famous creation scripture? If you think of creation in your mind, when the world was created, what reference in the Bible comes up? Let there be light. Well, that's an interesting one. It's a very good one. Any other ones that jump to mind? You guys should be able to guess which one would be mine. I've told you what?
John
1:1. Well, let's all turn back to that, right? John 1:1. In the beginning, right? If you go John 1:1, well, John 1:1-3, almost seems like you could put together some ditty to confuse the tongue if you did that enough. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was the Word. But even though I would argue that's such a beautiful passage, it's a little confusing actually, if you read the words and beautiful passage, it does probably deserve to be the one we most remember. If you think about it, the most read one might be a different one. Let's turn back to Genesis, exactly. Genesis 1:1. So I think John probably is the most famous, but Genesis probably is the most read, or maybe the most read. And can people think about why it might be more read? Well, you see, it might not be more, but why it might be more read? It's right there, and every time somebody decides they're going to read the Bible in a year, they at least get that far, right? They may not get to John, but they don't give up in Genesis 1:1. Probably they start giving up when you hit the harder parts of Genesis. Once they hit Numbers, it's probably a lost case if they're not really committed. So Genesis 1:1. And we're going to actually read a couple of verses. 1:1-2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. who was hovering over the face of the waters? And that would be the Holy Spirit, right? The Paraclete. Not the parakeet, gentlemen. The Paraclete. And we know that the Holy Spirit was doing more than hovering. Let's turn to Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6. I imagine if anybody actually does listen to the stuff online, it can get quite boring when I'm flipping from one scripture to another, but I am still of the mind that it is far better for you to be looking in the Bible than listening to me. So Psalm 33:6. Second here. And my fingers aren't terribly calibrated today. So everybody there? On Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. That sounds like John, right? John 1:1. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the word. So, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. So who do you think the breath of his mouth would be? It'd be the Holy Spirit again. So the Holy Spirit wasn't just hovering over creation. The Holy Spirit was part of creation. So when we start our brief history of the Holy Spirit, how does it start?
In the beginning
with?
God.
With God, right. But what was the first? So I personally believe that time itself was created. That God, the Godhead, is outside of time. So in the beginning, when time was created, that's, you can't talk about in the beginning beyond, before time. Beginning requires time. What was the first thing, Mike, that the Holy Spirit did? Helped with what?
Helped with creation.
Creation. So when we look at our brief history of the Holy Spirit, we start with the creation, right? And what's interesting is not only did he do a brief history of time, but he also did the universe in a nutshell. And if Stephen Hawking was a believer, this would start with the Holy Spirit, the Son, the Father, right? And this, the universe in a nutshell, would start off with talking about how the universe was created by who?
God.
By God, right? With the Holy Spirit. So now we've started our brief history, and we're going to move on. And we can find, what's interesting is this. If you look for the term Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, anybody want to guess how many times that expression comes up? If you look for the expression Holy Spirit in that form, the Spirit is referred to otherwise, right?
It was the entire Bible.
Well, we're just talking about the Old Testament, which is more than half your Bible, right?
Yeah.
Anybody want to guess on how many times, if you did a search, how many times it would show up?
Hello.
Not in the Old Testament. You're doing good for the New Testament, though. And the Old Testament only shows up 3 times. So let's take a quick look. Psalm 51:11. We're already in Psalm, right? Nobody was crazy enough to close their Bible, were they? Psalm 51:11. See, I wish we had a microphone because I'd rather have other people read these. And then we could pass the microphone. And the only reason I don't do it is because I figure if somebody does actually end up listening online, it would be terribly annoying if they couldn't hear what the person was doing. But maybe in the future we'll do it. So 51:11. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit away from me. There's one case. How about Isaiah? Isaiah 63. Let's turn that way. Isaiah 63. As you can see, this time you're going to get your fingers a good workout. Isaiah 63. This is the second time. Verse 10. But they, the Israelites, rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. And then finally, if you go on to the next verse, again, I hope you didn't close your Bible, we'll save some time. This is the third occasion of using the term. Now, I'm using the English Standard Version. Perhaps there's another one that decides to do it. But English Standard Version, verse 11, same chapter. Then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people, Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit? So, again, going through our brief history of the Holy Spirit, we can see in the Old Testament, who did the Holy Spirit dwell with? At least when they were behaving? The Israelites, right? He's there. You go through the whole history, and we could do that. You go through the whole history of the Bible, and you can see him throughout. The problem, of course, we have is, just like Nick last week, when I asked you if creation would be considered a good subject for a paper, and we discussed how the teacher would come back and it wasn't specific enough. A brief history of the Holy Spirit isn't specific enough. We really would be here too long, but we've already learned a lot. I don't know if you caught it, but so far we have learned in our brief history of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit was involved in creation, that the Holy Spirit was in the midst of the Israelites, that Jesus sent and sends the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gives us truth, that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that the Holy Spirit actually fought the Israelites, that the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus says, and that the Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, if you guys are wondering where that list came from, did you pay attention to the Paraclete references? It was all in there. Just in those limited references that we had, all of those points about the Holy Spirit were brought out. Now, we've only just scratched the surface when it comes to the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to bring up a couple more kind of perhaps even oddities that you may not think of. And instead of making a switch this time, we'll go ahead for saving time. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 33. So you can turn there, but I'm going to go ahead and read. And it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means, Larry, what's the word underneath it? If it's all caps? Actually, well, they would have said Adonai, but it wasn't actually Adonai. It was Jehovah or Yahweh. So, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord," all caps if you see it in your Bible, which is saying the name of God, Yahweh, or we're not sure how it was pronounced, but that's the closest that people can think, "when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke," notice, they broke, he didn't break, "they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord," all caps again. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord," all caps again. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." But let's all turn together to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I didn't say you were totally off the hook with looking up scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 15. Luckily, Hebrews is one of the longer books in the New Testament, so it's easier to find. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying," after the Holy Spirit said, "this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." That's interesting. When you think of Yahweh in the Old Testament, who do you usually think of in the Godhead? Jesus, maybe? The Father, usually? But if Jeremiah says Yahweh and Hebrews says it was the Holy Spirit that said it, who is that equating Yahweh to? The Holy Spirit. Now, let's be cautious. We're not done yet. But I thought you might find that interesting. And that's what even doing a search on the brief history of the Holy Spirit can do to you. And it makes it hard to decide what to preach on. Let's look at one more thing. How many times did I say the word paraclete was used in the New Testament? Five times. By the way, Holy Spirit occurs, if I counted right, 89 times in the ESV and the New Testament. Three times in the Old Testament, 89 times. Of course, there are lots of other references. It occurs five times. How many references did I actually give you? Four. Gave four. Four references. And that means we still have one to go. So let's look at it together. It's still John, but it's not in John. It's in 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So you're already probably scratching your head a little bit about how Yahweh and the Holy Spirit are the same, because we've found references together before where you could show that Yahweh and Jesus were the same, right? Probably didn't see one before. I didn't ever see one before where you could say Yahweh and the Holy Spirit were the same. This is another, what I would call, oddity, but we'll give it to the language. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Mike, you remember when you came up after Bible study and you said that Jesus died for all? Those who agree with you, who aren't Calvinists, would use this as one of their proof texts. So in that reference is the word paraclete. Can you guys guess which word it is?
Advocate.
Advocate, very good. So in that case, who's the paraclete? Jesus. So interesting enough. Now, I would be very cautious because this is not like the transitive property. I wish Mikey was here. Does anybody know what the transitive property in math is? I had to look it up. I'm not going to pretend that I actually remembered. I should have, right? You would have all been so impressed. That's the property where it says if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So just because in four verses it says paraclete is the Holy Spirit, and then one verse it says Jesus is the paraclete, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is Jesus. But still, isn't it interesting that John, the same writer, would find it wise to use that word to refer to both of them? I think what comes down, though, is as we study a brief history of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that becomes clearest is we can't divide the Godhead. They work together. The Trinity is one. And so when we look at a brief history of the Holy Spirit, do you think that Jesus went through his life and the Holy Spirit just stayed out on the side? Who do you think strengthened Jesus and led for the Father? When you see creation, the Holy Spirit wasn't off on the side doing something. When you see the Israelites and their pillar of fire and all that stuff, he was there too. You can't divide the Godhead. So if there's anything in a brief history of the Holy Spirit that we should learn, is he's God, just like the Son is God, just like the Father is God. It is all God. And there is a reason, when we get to the end of Matthew, that we're not commanded to go make disciples of Jesus. We're not commanded to go make disciples of the Father. We're not commanded to make disciples of the Holy Spirit. Instead, we are commanded to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we should thank that Trinity for sending the Holy Spirit before us to convict the world of sin and bearing witness to the solution, which is Jesus Christ. And Winslow, it's all yours. And by the way, Winslow, I do appreciate the final song, because I think we could all agree there is a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place, right?
Amen.
A sweet Holy Spirit. And there are blessings that you cannot receive unless you've known him to his fullness, right? And accepted him. So as we sing this, Let's make the brief history of the Holy Spirit for those of you who really haven't accepted Christ or haven't given the Holy Spirit enough time to work with you. Wouldn't you like to be part of the brief history of the Holy Spirit? Thank you.